Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Natalie Hutchison at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a former UN woman investigator discusses the harrowing work she's been doing looking into sexual abuse cases in Iraq and Syria. And a UN police chief shares her powerful sense of mission to build peace and deliver hope. But first, there is urgent need for more adequate measures to prevent cancer among people aged 20 to 39. The call has been made by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, which is part of the World Health Organization, WHO. Globally, there were 1 million new cancer cases among this age group in 2012, as well as 400,000 cancer-related deaths, according to a recent IARC report. The majority of those affected were women. Deanne Penn has been speaking to the lead author, Dr. Miranda Fidler.
The most common cancer types that we saw in terms of new cases were breast cancers in females, cervical cancer, thyroid cancer, leukemia, and colorectal cancer. And when you then look at mortality or deaths occurring among young adults, the most common cancers were, again, breast cancer, but then liver cancer, leukemia, and cervical cancer. And in particular, what we found was that women were disproportionately affected, meaning that they had many more cancers and deaths occurring. Approximately 65% of all cancers occurring in 20 to 39-year-olds occurred in women. And for deaths, that was around 55%.
Now, I wonder if you can tell us, why are these people getting sick?
Cancer occurs across all ages, even though we generally associate it with elderly people or older individuals. So what we see specifically for young adults, though, is that they have a mixture of cancers. So the cancers that we see in children, like leukemias and brain cancers, they're still occurring in young adults. But at the same time, we're seeing cancers that are more common in older individuals, like breast cancer or colorectal cancer. So really, it's an age group that has a mix of these two very diverse cancer groupings, if we can say it like that, these areas of oncology, and that's what makes it quite interesting.
And as you had mentioned earlier, the cancers are particularly affecting women. Do we know why?
The reason why that we're seeing more cancers in women is because we're seeing more female cancers, that being breast and cervical cancer. And these two cancer types actually account for over 30% of all new cancer cases in 2012 and over 20% of the cancer-related deaths. So as a result, we just see a greater burden occurring in females, and thus we really need to start thinking about how can we avoid these cancers and how can we improve cancer outcomes, particularly for breast and cervical cancer.
Does IARC have any recommendations for governments or individuals?
A key aspect of young adult oncology is just increasing awareness. A lot of people think that cancer doesn't occur in 20 to 39-year-olds or that it's extremely rare. So we need to increase awareness. And as I said before, for females, we definitely need to start looking into how we can prevent these cancers. So for example, for cervical cancer, we would suggest national human papillomavirus vaccination programs. And these will prevent cervical cancers from happening. And at the same time, we can suggest early detection and screening for cervical cancer. And this is really cost effective. And these are measures that can really be done worldwide at a low cost.
Miranda Fidler speaking to Deanne Penn. In Iraq, investigating the numerous and unique cases of sexual violence has been a very difficult experience. That's according to Rabia, former investigator for UN Women Missions in Iraq and Syria on sexual violence in conflict-related areas. Her hope is that the database of collected cases she helped form will be useful for studying and preventing this world problem that extends beyond conflict zones. Rabia talked to Agnese Pastorino about the strategies and findings of her research.
All the cases touched me. So you have the pattern, which is how ISIS was committing the crimes, how they were basically doing the crimes. But every individual faced individual horrible events. So there's no case you can basically compare, like one victim had exactly the same as the other, had to endure the same violation as the other victim. Each case is individual, but they all touched me. And for me, my whole experience for different conflict areas, Iraq was the most difficult one to deal with because it was on a big scale. There was a lot of sexual violence in a very short time.
How did you find victims in these areas?
Prior to being deployed, it's always important to do first a preliminary investigation by doing some open research on the internet, reading some articles, what has been written about and so on, what is going on in the country. And once you arrive in the country itself, you contact the local NGOs, but also more specifically, you contact the doctors and hospitals, because that's the place where victims easily go and also get the first aid when they arrive. So through doctors, through local NGOs, through the community leaders and so on. So in Iraq, it was very easy to find survivors.
What has been your role in investigating and prosecuting these crimes?
My role was, of course, to investigate, to make sure that information has been gathered, evidence has been collected of what happened, who are the perpetrators, how did they want to work, what is the, how was the pattern, and so on. And of course, with the purpose that one day a court will be established and all the information evidence will be used.
Are there any implications in your activity in the legal proceeding of criminals?
Everything that we have collected is stored in the database, and hopefully one day it will be used. But so far, I do hope that that it will be established and so we can use everything that we have gathered. That's very important.
In your opinion, what is an international priority on the problem of conflict-related sexual violence?
To continue to do investigation, that's for sure, to make sure that the survivors do receive psychosocial support that they need and that they deserve to. Also to work on the prevention of sexual violence, regardless which conflict. So it's unfortunately a world problem, and we need to do something about it, but we need to continue the work we're doing so far.
That was Rabia, former investigator for UN Women. Building peace and bringing hope are at the core of UN police work, says the highest-ranking woman police officer serving in the UN system. Priscilla Makatos is police commissioner for the UN African Union mission in Darfur, UNAMID, and was appointed in March last year. She says that professionalism, integrity, and honesty lie at the heart of the job, together with applying a zero-tolerance approach to preventing sexual exploitation and abuse. Ms. Makatos told Agnese Pastorino during her visit to UN headquarters in New York for Police Week that she wants to share the joy and satisfaction she gets from the job with others.
In our mission, we are paying particular attention to the Secretary General's policy on zero tolerance to sexual exploitation and abuse. We have engaged all our IPOs and our FPU contingents, addressing them on the zero tolerance policy. We are also improving the welfare facilities and engagement of the members so that they are better kept occupied and they are better focused on their jobs. We are also taking time to also engage in drama activities that portrays the dangers and the resultant punishments that arise if one is caught with exploiting or abusing people.
As a policewoman, you work under the blue flag to serve the people you are sent to protect, but you're also upholding the value of the UN, of your country, of your family. What is your message to your men and women when it comes to preventing sexual exploitation and abuse?
My message to them is that it does not serve any purpose, it's bully, and it should not never be tolerated. We have to be respectful of the communities we serve, we have to have integrity, and we have to portray the UN values of professionalism, integrity, and honesty. And sexual exploitation and abuse does not do any of those things. And any member of my team should not be caught being violating those principles at any time. So my encouragement is that we have to be ethical officers who are in the mission to serve and bring peace.
Do you want to share something about your experience as a woman?
I think what I would like to share that there is joy in serving, and there is inner satisfaction that you get from helping other people who are in need. And one thing that I think is very important is just to bring a smile on another person's face just by your presence, because sometimes in the operational areas, things are very gloomy and there's a lot of despair. And it is important that when we serve in these particular environments, we bring a stray of hope, should give hope to the other people.
UNAMID Police Commissioner Priscilla Makatos talking to Agnese Pastorino. You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Natalie Hutchison.